Hallo, schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, deinem Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler und ich freue mich sehr, dass du da bist, denn heute wartet wieder ein unglaublich inspirierendes Interview auf dich mit der wundervollen Dr. Sue Morter, die ich in Los Angeles getroffen habe. Und Dr. Sue Morter ist Expertin im Bereich bioenergetischer Medizin und bekannt dafür, dass sie Wissenschaft und Spiritualität und menschliche Möglichkeiten zusammenbringt. Und dieses Interview war so inspirierend und toll und hat so viel Freude gemacht und ich bin ja einfach ganz, ganz voller Freude, es jetzt mit dir teilen zu können. Wir haben unter anderem darüber gesprochen, wie wir wirklich in unsere Ganzheit kommen können. Wir haben darüber gesprochen, gerade auch aus wissenschaftlicher Sicht, aus bioenergetischer Sicht, wie wir über unseren Atem vor allen Dingen auch Energieblockaden in unserem Körper lösen können, warum uns eigentlich unendliche Energie zur Verfügung steht, warum das Leben immer für uns ist, wer wir eigentlich sind, warum wir nicht unsere Gedanken sind, warum alles in dir ist und wie wir unser volles Potenzial wirklich aktivieren können. Und ja, Dr. Sue Morter ist einfach ein ganz inspirierender Mensch und was ich das Schöne an ihr auch finde, ist, dass sie wirklich diesen wissenschaftlichen Background hat als Ärztin und selber in ihrem Leben einen entscheidenden, transformierenden Moment hatte, wo sie verstanden hat, dass alles in einem viel größeren Zusammenhang miteinander steht. Und in ihrem neuen Buch The Energy Codes spricht sie auch darüber und gibt einem auch ganz konkrete, ja, Tools an die Hand, wie man wirklich in die Kraft kommen kann. Und genau darüber spreche ich mit ihr heute im Podcast-Interview und ich wünsche dir ganz, ganz viel Freude bei diesem Gespräch. Wie immer, es gibt alle Interviews, die auf Englisch sind, in der deutschen Übersetzung, in den Untertiteln, auf YouTube und meinem Blog. Ich lese immer wieder irgendwie auf Instagram oder auf Facebook oder auch in den Bewertungen, dass es so unfair ist, dass ich englische Interviewgäste habe. Und dass es nicht auf Deutsch übersetzt ist. Wir übersetzen alle Interviews. Alle Interviews gibt es immer in der deutschen Übersetzung. Das heißt, selbst wenn du kein Englisch kannst, kannst du dir die Interviews durchlesen. Wir denken da an alle. Wir lassen da niemanden außen vor. Und wie gesagt, auf meinem Blog und auf YouTube findest du die Übersetzung immer in den Untertiteln, wo du sie dir dann anhören kannst. Und ich freue mich natürlich über die Gedanken zu der Folge wie immer auf Instagram und auf Facebook, wenn du sie dir angehört hast. Lass deine Gedanken da. Was war für dich die wichtigste Erkenntnis? Wie möchtest du das umsetzen in deinem Leben? Was denkst du darüber, was wir gesprochen haben? Schau auf Instagram vorbei, @LauraMarlinaSeiler und lass mir deine Gedanken da zu der Folge von heute. Das ist immer eine wunderschöne, ein wunderschöner Austausch, wie ich finde, der da stattfindet. Und ich möchte gerne an dieser Stelle noch eine Bewertung vorlesen. Wie gesagt, ich lese ja immer alle Bewertungen durch, die ihr mir schreibt, auf iTunes, bei YouTube, in den Kommentaren, wo auch immer ich Bewertungen finden kann oder eure Gedanken zum Podcast finden kann, weil ich natürlich auch immer besser werden möchte und mich verbessern möchte und auch an mir arbeite. Und und es ist natürlich für mich einfach auch eine unglaubliche Motivation zu lesen, wie euch der Podcast hilft, wie dir der Podcast hilft, wie der Podcast dein Leben verändert. Und wenn ich mir das durchlese, dann ist es für mich einfach immer wieder diese Motivation weiterzumachen und noch mehr tolle Interviewgäste zu finden und noch tiefer in Themen einzusteigen. Deswegen an dieser Stelle tausend Dank für alle, die mir eine Rezension schreiben, auch hier bei iTunes. Wenn du mir eine 5-Sterne-Bewertung dalässt, deine Gedanken dazu dalässt, das ist für mich einfach eine unglaubliche Wertschätzung und danke, danke dafür. Und ich möchte gerne an dieser Stelle meine Rezension der Woche vorlesen. Und zwar kam die von Daniela und sie hat geschrieben, dieser Podcast ist seit langem das Beste, was mir passiert ist. Er hilft in jeder Hinsicht, seinen eigenen authentischen Weg zu finden und das Leben mit all seinen Facetten zu verstehen. Es sollte jedoch jedem bewusst sein, dass Veränderungen im Leben von einem selbst ausgehen müssen und dass glücklich zu sein, zu werden, eine bewusste Entscheidung ist und keine automatische Antwort auf eine einmalige Handlung. Seitdem ich Lauras Podcast entdeckt habe, habe ich meine alten energieraubenden Gewohnheiten in neue, unglaublich kraftvolle Routinen in meinem Leben austauschen können. Ebenso habe ich durch dich, liebe Laura, endlich gelernt, regelmäßig zu meditieren und meine Automatismen zu durchbrechen bzw. eine neue Lebensqualität zu erfahren. Dieser wundervolle Podcast ist ein Geschenk für die Welt und all die Menschen, die größere Ziele für sich und ihr Leben haben. Danke, Laura, dass du dein Licht mit uns teilst und dein Geschenk für die Welt ausgepackt hast. Ich wünsche mir für dich von ganzem Herzen, dass du noch viel mehr Menschen mit deiner Botschaft erreichst und die Zukunft viel Positives für dich bereithält. Ich freue mich auf viele weitere Folgen. Alles Liebe und danke, Daniela. Daniela, danke von Herzen für diese wundervolle Rezension. Ich freue mich so sehr darüber und vor allen Dingen hast du so recht mit dem, was du sagst. Ich kann hier natürlich all die Tools in dem Podcast bereitstellen. Ich kann die tollsten Interviewgäste an den Start bringen, aber am Ende beginnt die Veränderung bei dir selbst und bei jedem Einzelnen selbst. Und ich hoffe sehr, dass dich dieser Podcast dazu inspiriert. Und ja, Daniela, danke für die tolle Rezension. Ich habe mich riesig darüber gefreut und sie ist sehr mit mir in Resonanz gegangen. Danke von Herzen. Und eine Kleinigkeit noch, und zwar ist ja heute der 1. Mai, wenn diese Folge veröffentlicht wird. Und jeden Monat gibt es im Higher Self Home einen neuen Fokus des Monats. In diesem Monat ist der Fokus des Monats Spiritualität und Business. Das heißt, wenn dich dieses Thema irgendwie interessiert und du das Gefühl hast, du möchtest gerne mehr in Kontakt mit dir kommen und mehr auch das Thema Spiritualität in deine Arbeitswelt bringen, dann ist wahrscheinlich der Fokus des Monats im Higher Self Home genau das Richtige für dich. Ich freue mich riesig, wenn du da vorbeischaust und du bekommst im Higher Self Home auch immer Zugriff auf alle bisherigen Monate. Das heißt, du findest eine Riesenanzahl an Meditationen, die du dir runterladen kannst, an PDFs, die du nutzen kannst für deine Reflexion, mit ganz vielen Live-Sessions mit mir, Q&A-Sessions und natürlich auch mit der Community. Und den Link zum Higher Self Home findest du natürlich bei mir auf der Webseite. Du findest ihn hier in den Shownotes. Und das Higher Self Home ist wirklich ein Ort für deine kontinuierliche, regelmäßige, monatliche, persönliche und spirituelle Weiterentwicklung. Und ja, es ist wie so eine Art Fitnessstudio für dich, für deine Seele, für dein Higher Self. Und ich freue mich sehr, wenn wir uns da sehen. Wie gesagt, den Link findest du natürlich in den Shownotes. Und genau, ich würde jetzt sagen, wir starten einfach los mit dem wundervollen Interview mit Dr. Sue Mortar. Ganz, ganz viel Freude dabei. I'm so happy and grateful and delighted to have Dr. Sue Mortar in the show today. And thank you so much for being here and taking the time for spreading all the information you have. And yeah, thank you.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Always, you know, these conversations matter most.
Yeah.
So I'll always find time for them whenever possible. And
thank
it's a delight
so
to
much.
Be here with you.
Thank you. So I always ask the question when in the interview, the first question is like, how do you start your day? What is your morning routine? How do you get into the day?
Well, oftentimes before I even open my eyes, I'm doing the work of coming into this form consciously, like being intentional about being in a body and living a life. And so I do a practice that I teach in my coursework about doing a central channel scan up and down the core of my own body so that I can start to see where the energy is flowing naturally and where it is not. And if it is not, then I use the practices that I use to get it moving in this area, because each area of our body represents a part of our wholeness, a part of our consciousness. And if a part of it is not connected to the rest of it, then we tend to go out into life in a compensated or compromised way. So I start with that. And it's basically a prayer or a ceremony inside the body. And I do it with the breath and with the mind, just focusing. And then I'm off to yoga class if I have my way. I love yoga and meditation and the breath work.
Nice.
If a day starts without that, it's usually we're playing catch up in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has it been always in your life like this? Like, have you been always so much into the energy of your own body and like consciousness, or has there been a different Dr. Sue Mortar?
There was a different Dr. Sue Mortar. Yes, absolutely. I was very shy as a child. I was extraordinarily intimidated by life itself. I slept on the floor in my closet. I was so freaked out and just terribly shy. And so I leaned on trying to be kind of the perfect person, the perfect student, the perfect daughter, that kind of perfectionistic way that had me, you know, kind of pretty uptight in living life from this high performance kind of place. And it was, unfortunately, it worked for quite a while to operate that way. But what happens is, or at least what happened with me, was that I became very good at doing things, but I didn't have a sense of fulfillment internally. And so I was led to something for the headaches that I was having and the stress that I was experiencing. And I was led to meditation. And I had a life-changing awakening during some practices that I was doing in meditation. And it was a transcendental, multidimensional experience. I was me, but I wasn't in a body. It was this ray of light, and I was in a brilliant light, so bright. It was 10 times brighter than the brightest day in the desert I had ever seen. And I could see 360 degrees around me and beautiful pink iridescent reality and brilliant white light overhead. And I knew that this is who we are. And I had a sense of fulfillment. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing to accomplish or to become. It was as if I had been there forever and that I was always going to be there. And that this earthly life thing was just a project that I was doing, you know, at this point in time. And so it changed me forever. I spent the next 10 years trying to integrate that I could have that experience again and again and again. And as I figured it out, I began sharing it with my patients and clients, and it became, you know, the work that I'm now teaching. But it was, by contrast, pretty extreme.
It's beautiful. So would you say that today you are in that space all the time, in that light? Like, is it now you're, like, who you are?
It is who I am.
Yeah.
Now, I have, every time I take on a new project or lean into a bigger expression into the world or kind of set my work free and in the trusting that it's time to reveal it here or there, of course we have to build new circuitry on how to manage our new projects. But there's this background sense of it's meant to be. That is the overarching principle of my life. People say, how do you do what you do? Because my schedule is really intense. I'm traveling and teaching all the time. I move from teaching a 5-day course or a 10-day course or a 1-day course to interviews to online courses to all kinds of things, just one after another. And people that know my schedule, they look and their jaws drop open like, how do you do this? And the way that it's happening is I'm drawing energy from the universe and I'm utilizing it and I'm giving it back. And then I draw some more and I'm utilizing it and then giving it back. And so it's not me as an isolated individual trying to do anything. I'm just stewarding this amazing energy that's traversing through my system. And so for the most part, there's a sense of well-being and joy and adventure and love that is in everything that I encounter. But not to say that, you know, you come up to a new edge or this new threshold and you don't know what's on the other side, but I find myself just going. And it's like, we'll know when we get there. We'll find out as we go. With a few things in place, that becomes a beautiful way of operating in life.
You said you draw the energy and you utilize it and then you give it back. Can you put this into, like, if someone is listening right now and they go like, okay, how is she doing that?
How do you do that? Yeah, sure. So we're a stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. We're not a separate self, although humanity perceives itself more like a bubble, like an entity. And we're not. We're a stream. If you put pressure on a bubble, it pops. Mm-hmm. If you put pressure on a stream, it just gets more powerful, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, if you put your thumb over the garden hose and you're wanting to water the flowers and you want to get those way over there, you put your thumb over it and it picks up more power. Well, what I'm doing is teaching people that we are this stream, and I'm showing them the bioenergetics and the way that energy flows through our system, it begins to start to make perfect sense when people see that. And And so what I'm teaching them to do is to anchor themselves in the core of this stream and to use the body in certain ways that cause the stream to pick up power. And so there is literally a waterfall of energy pouring into our system all the time. There are billions of bits of information that are bombarding our system constantly. And one of the ways that that energy shows up in the physiology is that measurably it is seen to come in through the top of the head, go down through the body and all the way to the earth. It hits the earth and is reflected back and rises back up through the body, comes out the top of our head and cycles around the outside of the body, and it keeps recycling. And it's constantly being rejuvenated, replenished, and it's constantly rising, and it's constantly cycling. And as we learn to tap that, to find it, to sense it and perceive it, we can actually utilize it for self-healing, for rejuvenation, for replenishment, etc. So it's kind of like when someone meditates, they release from their thinking mind and they expand into this bigger version of themselves. That's why we love it, because we get to experience ourselves beyond our thinking mind, clamped down like this. So it's a similar version to that, except that it's more active inside the body. What we're training the mind to do is to find this stream of energy flow through the body and never take your eye off of it. So I walk around with one eye on the inside, sensing and feeling this energy, and the other eye on my path, navigating what I'm going to do next, what's up, what's appropriate, etc. What you mean, what's next for me? What's next for service in the world? And how do we do that? So the way that I borrow the energy from the universe is that I dial my mind into perceiving the subtle, subtle realm. Because we are truly made of subtle energy, but we haven't been trained to perceive it except in meditation. And when I started meditating, I realized that this shouldn't be a separate activity in our day. It should be something that we're tapped into all the time. It's what happens is people sit down to meditate, then they stand up and they go out back into this life that seems to be gross and intense and massive in its compression forces. And so I'm teaching people to sense a subtle realm of life and to always be aware of that, because it's the true self. The true self is much more subtle than this active personality self. And once we tap that, it's another world we're living in.
Let's go back for 1 second to the day where you first had that experience, like when you were meditating. What was it like afterwards when you went? How old were you then?
I was in my 40s. You know, I don't know how old I was. It was 19 years ago. So I was, actually, it was 38-ish.
Yeah. And like before that moment, how would have been like a normal day for you? What was different before and after?
Wow. When this happened, it blew my circuits. I took in a lot of high frequency energy in a very, rapid fire moment. And my consciousness lit up in my third eye area and my higher brain centers came online all at the same time. I did not have the circuitry in place to integrate that. So I was flat out and dysfunctional. I didn't want to lift my head off the pillow because I was in a state of bliss. Yeah. And when I had to come into this body and into this life, it was the friction, the intensity was, the vibration was so intense that I just would let go again and go right back out. So there were people looking out for me. They were taking care of me. They were making sure I ate and was okay. But immediately following this, I was, definitely in a different realm, a different state. And it took me a few months before I was able to be back at work, functioning, you know, all of that. I mean, after a few days, I was able to get up and be around and functioning. And I would work half days and things like that for a while. But listening to the radio or the sounds of traffic or the noises of life were just so brash and so intense. I just couldn't integrate, couldn't function it. And so I began to turn my life into this living laboratory so that I could figure out a way of, you know, being okay with it. And then as I began to do that, I became very interested in how to help harness this to help my patients get better, heal faster, stay better longer, etc. So initially, I was less functional. But what happened was I codified how to return to this state, and I became super functional. And in that, I reverse engineered what I was doing to get into my body with this to teach people how to expand their consciousness. So people are becoming super functional without having to go through what I went through, you know, to have in having the experience. So my work became about how do we embody this? How do we not just become enlightened? How do we come embodied with the enlightenment that we're accessing? And that's what I have found is contributing to people healing and people becoming super functional. You know, we've all heard about people who became enlightened and then they just didn't want to live here anymore. They're just like, why would I be here when I have access to the divine, to these higher realms? And to me, it seemed, you know, if we're here, there's a reason that we're here. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to bring it here and infuse that into our lives here and roll that out into our communities and into our ways of living and thinking and being and exchanging so that we're up-leveling what it means to be human instead of just having these out-of-body experiences and then craving and yearning for that again. We can have that here in an ongoing and integrated and grounded kind of fashion.
It's so beautiful. I'm just thinking about how nice it would be if everyone could have that.
Yes.
Because I think this is actually how we are supposed to live.
I completely agree.
And what I understand, what you are describing, for me, it sounds like this is living our true potential. Like this is who we are when we get away all the blocks that are limiting us. So I'm just wondering how can we help more people to understand that there's more about than what they think they are. I mean, I think this is the biggest problem I observe, that people just don't believe that this is possible. You know, it's like, yeah.
I get it. You know, I think that one of the most effective things that we can do is recognize that as a culture, we are pretty much identified as the mind.
Yes.
We think that's who we are.
Yes.
And I describe it like we land here and we kind of splat. And in the splat, we get dispersed and our minds go one way, our bodies go another way, our breath is another way, and the whole spiritual self, the whole being is just hanging out, waiting to see if we're ever going to get it together enough that it can come on in here fully and live this life that we came here to live. And so the process of our lives is really to get ourselves together. And we hear ourselves say it, you know, give me a second here. I just need to get myself together and then I can go and do this. And that's so symbolic for what I'm talking about. It's as if when we land, we kind of go face down. And when we come up, we're attached to the mind and we have to get this mind off of us because it's so connected. We think that's who we are. And if we can get it here and understand that we are separate and distinct from that, that I'm not my thoughts and I'm not my beliefs. I have them, but I don't have to be governed by them. In fact, this mind is supposed to be serving me, not controlling me.
Yeah.
And so I'm teaching people how to unattach from the mind, to get up off of that seat and walk over and sit down in a different chair and to realize that the real self isn't attached to the mind, that that's how we got set up and identified as a means of protection and survival. We land here and we splat and we come up as the mind trying to look around and see, you know, what's going on? Am I safe? Is this, what is this place? You know, how do I fit in? How do I please the people who are feeding me and taking care of me and do the right thing and all of that? That's what I was caught up in. Yeah. And in turn, I became this version of myself that was not the true version, but the one that was trying to survive, trying to make do or to perform or to perfect or to, or protect. And this is what we're doing as a culture. We're living in our protective selves. You know, it's called the ego, but I don't like to call it the ego because no one likes to have an ego. But I find if I call it the protective personality, we can, and it really is the ego, but we can get a lot of good work done. Yeah. And interestingly, only the ego doesn't like to have an ego. So it's like so symbolic to the fact that, we've got that covered. So it's about, you know, let's just sit down here and realize everyone is hooked up in this way. Of being identified as the mind. And it causes us to not believe that there's a better life. Because people think, look, if I'm not busy taking care of things, making things happen in my life, who's going to do it for me? It's not going to happen if I don't, you know, stay after it that way. And that whole way of thinking just breeds more of the necessity for that way of thinking. And I'm not saying that we sit back or sit down on a mountaintop and not participate, but it's about changing the seat from which we move, from which we drive our vehicle, from where we come, to just simply sitting down as the soulful self and recognize that this is in my favor here. This essential trueness of my being is meant to be. It's everything that I need. It's not lacking anything. It's not broken. Nothing's missing. And I am here as that. And the universe is on my side. In fact, I'm made of the universe, just compressed into a body, as that's what all physical matter is. It's just compressed energy, and we are energy beings. We're made of that. So once we start to shift that perspective, everything starts to change. Our lives change. The people that show up in our lives are more of a vibrational match to our true self. Things unfold. Invitations are there. Opportunities open up for us that we didn't even think that we could create or know how to create them. You know, my life has become something I had no idea I would be doing this. And yet, at some deepest level, that soulful self is saying, yep, this is it. This is what you're here to do. This is what it's supposed to be. Not that version of yourself that was so freaked out and had migraine headaches. And since then, I've healed a scoliosis in my own body. I've healed injuries that should have been, you know, needed other types of modalities that the system had the ability to heal themselves if just let to its own devices. And we just have to learn how to do that. And yeah. that's what I'm wanting the world to know about.
And for everyone who's listening right now and who's like, okay, I want that as well. How can we start? Like, what is the point? For example, someone is listening now, let's say 25-year-old girl, same as you, maybe you've been that age, like very, I have to achieve and I have to be the best in everything I do and I have to protect myself and very much in the mind, in the protective self. What's the first step? How can we start?
Sure. So much is supported by breathing properly in the body. The spirit in the body is breath in the body. When we stop breathing, we leave the body completely, right? So the whole idea is if breath is the vehicle through which I embody, I come into the body, then how can I do that in an effective way that opens up other gateways and aspects of my wholeness and awakens them and enlivens them so that they're all working together in a collaborative fashion? And as we begin to learn to do that, everything changes. So the first thing that I always, suggesting to people is that they belly breathe, that you don't breathe in your chest because it activates your fight or flight. When you breathe in the belly, it activates this deeper expression of the nervous system. It's more of the wisdom vibrations that start to come online. And then there are some simple things that we can do to anchor ourselves in the body because we tend to live in our heads. And not in our whole body, not in our whole self. And if we're living in our whole self, then the body gets to operate as a filtering system. You know, there are billions of bits, 11 billion bits of information bombarding this system every millisecond, and they don't report to the head. They report to the gut. And then from the gut, they rise up through the enteric nervous system, and they come through the heart, which is another brain. So there's a brain in the gut, and a brain in the heart, and a brain in our head. And they're supposed to be interchangeably interacting with each other, creating a unified communication system that allows us to operate as this cosmic being, these billions of bits of information that are constantly dropping into this single place that we operate from. And they are supposed to be then being formulated and organized in such a fashion that it allows us to translate the information by the time it rises up to our conscious mind. And then what comes out of us is a byproduct of organized chaotic energy, this amazing, immense, unified field of information becomes a thought if we let it. But if we shut this down and are only living in our heads, all we get is a portion of our filtering system to try to translate. And that's why we end up feeling like, I have to think this through. I have to make this happen. I have to figure it out. When the majority, you know, what I've never heard, and I've heard billions of times, I've heard people say, oh, I had a gut feeling and I overrode it and I should have listened. But I've never heard anyone say, you know, I had a gut feeling and I went with it. And boy, do I regret it.
Yeah,
no one's ever said that to me.
That's true.
So what I'm doing is getting people to anchor in their body. So by coming down into the body and using our musculature to turn our minds on to having a sense of self in the body instead of just the sense of self, the perception or the image of ourselves that we have in our heads, everything starts to change. So there's a practice called Mula Bandha. It's an ancient Sanskrit term that means root lock. And it means pulling. If you're a yogi, you're familiar with the term Mula Bandha. But if you're not a yogi, it just means that there is a place at the base of our spine that if we anchor it and kind of hook into it, it pulls us from living in our heads down into our bodies. And then if we're breathing with consciousness up and down through the whole channel between the two, we start to enliven all these energy centers and the levels of consciousness that come with them, in such a fashion that they start to operate as this collective filter that contributes on many different vibrational frequencies to the kinds of thoughts that we can think. And so if we contract all the muscles in the base of the pelvic bowl, just sitting here talking, and we just, it's like a Kegel exercise, if you're familiar with that. If you're not, it's kind of like if you contracted the muscles that you would have to contract if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream all of a sudden, you contract those muscles. And when you do that, it anchors your energy in the belly, deep in the wisdom of our being. And then inside the heart space, you can squeeze your heart, not your heart muscle, but in the center of your chest. Just give it a little hug in there, just way inside. And oftentimes people will say, I don't know how to do that. And so I just say, just make it up because you do know how to do it. You just don't know that you know how to do it. And you just start playing around with it. And as we do that, then we're two of four anchor points in the central channel of our body. The next one, the third of the four, would be to constrict your throat just enough that you could hear or feel the breath. It's kind of like Ujjayi breathing. It's kind of like Darth Vader breathing, if you're not familiar with Ujjayi breathing. And it's kind of like a snore, if you're not familiar with that. Just enough that you can feel a vibration right in the throat. And the reason for that is that we want to be able to find the core of the body. Because we're so used to living in our heads, we kind of don't feel in the body. And the fourth of these four anchor points would be behind the eyes. So if you just sit and roll your eyes up, there's some tension behind the eyes, just that you can, oh, there it is. It puts you right in the center of your brain. So if you have this behind the eyes and in the throat and the center of the heart and in the pelvic bowl, all these areas lined up, it's like this giant plumb line right through the central core of our being. And what happens is we start breathing up and down through that. So if we take a breath from overhead, breathe through this area in the center of the brain, behind the eyes, through the center of the throat, through the center of the heart, into the belly, and then contract that Mula Bandha, that root lock, and exhale into the earth. And then inhale up from in the earth beneath where we sit, up into the belly again, through that contracted Mula Bandha. And then exhale right up and out the top of the head. And then inhale again from above the head into the body, down into the earth, and then back again. Up and down through this central channel begins to create a photon density, which we can talk about if we need to, at the core of our being. That density starts to get picked up by the sensory nervous system, and all of a sudden, we're perceiving a sense of self anchored in ourselves, in our body, that we haven't had before. And after 3 or 4 days of just doing that multiple times throughout the day, just play around with it, what starts to happen is we have a different come from. We're more grounded, we're anchored. We won't be able to get as upset about the things that are happening in our lives as usual. So beware. Your attitude is going to change. And, you know, there's just one other little thing that I would say with that is to recognize that these four anchor points are a quickening. We're gathering our energy back and making it stronger and more concentrated in this stream rather than being dispersed or in our minds or in our stories. And what happens from that is we kind of claim ourselves back and we start to become empowered naturally without trying to come up with a rationale for being worthy or for being strong or for being capable in some way, or mustering up the gumption to go have the courage to do something. Happens automatically. So one more thing that I would add to it is to gather your energy onto the subject, which is you, versus allowing it to be dispersed onto an object, someone or some story or some circumstance. You throw your energy onto that and you immediately feel empty. Then you start trying to validate or prove or be known, when all you need to do is anchor these four anchor points and it automatically calls your energy back onto yourself, onto your system. And this sense of power and availability and consciousness is quickened automatically again. And under those circumstances, we have an ability to think creatively instead of protectively. We have an ability to lean in and bring love sooner rather than needing someone else to lead the way. We have the capacity to forgive things that don't seem forgivable because we are afraid they're going to happen again if we forgive them. But with this, we start to have such a sense of self that we recognize that I am not a byproduct of my environment, that I can manage my internal reality regardless of my external circumstances, and then start to operate as a creator instead of a reactor. So there's a very long answer to your question.
But it was beautiful. I was just like, beautiful. Thank you so much. I think it's so helpful because it's a tool that is so easy. And the thought easy, if you know it, then it's easy. And what I've been thinking, what I liked so much about your answer is so often, like in the spiritual world, teachers say it's all within you. And you go like, yeah.
Where?
Right. Yeah, but explain it to me.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
And the way you just explained it, I think it made it so clear what is meant by it, that you just bring all your attention inside yourself. You lock it in and you use it with your breath. Everything you actually need to awaken in yourself is within yourself. And the moment you put your attention away from the external world, put it into yourself, I always say it's like, inside of you is like a garden. It's like your universe, your universal garden inside of you. You have to water it. You have to be there.
And yes, tend
this,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just so beautiful, what you just said, because it matches so perfectly with it. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
and
you
know,
so much.
What's even more is that life will show you exactly where you need to water it or tend it or put food or what have you, food for thought or this, the food of your own loving presence, etc. Life will show you exactly where in here you need to be tending more. And it's so amazing. And this is where it starts to get into the core of my work, that if someone is in a situation that someone says something that just gets you, or you're worried about something and you feel it in your core, or you're about to go do something and you've got this lump in your throat or this knot in your stomach or tightness in your chest, the different areas of the body represent different parts of your consciousness, literally. So A lump in your throat means something different than tightness in your chest and different than a knot in your stomach. And so what you want to do is whenever you're in a situation that is causing that, whether it's what we would call a negative circumstance or even dreaming your dreams or setting your vision for yourself, if you take your attention to the body and you see where is the charge? Do I have a knot in my stomach or a lump? Is there anything going on in here? And wherever you find the extra energy, that energy is building up because there isn't the circuitry for that energy to flow freely through that area. With no circuitry in place, we can't access our ability to speak our truth or our unconditionality or our personal power or our deep wisdom. And so in any given situation, life is showing us how to wake ourselves up. But we've been running away from those situations because they create discomfort, when all the while we're supposed to say, thank you, I got it, and squeeze it back and let it know that we're on to it, that contact has been made, that this system is revealing to my mind, hey, you need some more circuits in your throat area. Hey, you need some more circuits in your gut area. How do you know? Because you've got a knot in your stomach or a lump in your throat. So you squeeze it back, and then you squeeze these four anchor points that we're talking about, and you start breathing up and down the central channel until they all become one. Until this knotted up area that has this extra charge relaxes into the flow of your whole system. And what you're doing in that moment is starting to build the electromagnetic circuitry that leads to the neurocircuitry that sustains your ability to have access to the wholeness of your being. So life is never here to beat you up. Life is here saying, hey, if you just lean into this, just do a little bit more of that, you're going to have all of you online in no time. And the next thing you know, you're going to be living as an entirely different human being. I know it from personal experience. And I've been watching, you know, God, tens of thousands of people change their lives because they're learning how to do this.
Yeah.
It's our destiny. It's what we're supposed to be doing.
So beautiful. So beautiful. What would you say, because this is what I still don't understand, is why is this knowledge not everywhere? Like, what happened to humanity that we lost it somehow? Because I think it's I mean, even the old Egypt, they knew about it, right?
Yes.
It's like, where did it go? why is it? I don't know, because I think I just always imagine if everyone would live what you were just saying, if everyone would be in their power, if we would be able to heal ourselves, if we would know we are the creator of our own lives, we wouldn't have the feeling of being a victim or that I need something. We wouldn't have any problems of the problems we have. Everything would be solved, actually.
Yes.
We would just be here, so how can I help you?
Right, exactly.
What can I give to you? Because
yes.
I have so much to share. I'm the universe,
right? Nothing missing.
Yeah. Mm. So what do you think? Where did it get lost, and
yes.
How can we really get this information to the world?
Yes. You know, there are a couple of answers, and I love to speak about this. A couple of answers to that. One is consciousness is expanding. And so what was once known as wholeness, every moment is now only a part of wholeness because everything is expanding. So if you knew everything there was to know in this moment, things are expanded, and so there's more to know. And then if you fill in all the gaps there and know all of this, in the next moment, there's this much. So there's this constant expansion and anchoring and expansion and anchoring in the universe. And it's a universal pulse that is something that we utilize in all of our practices that I'm teaching people so that we can collaborate with this infinite knowledge. So basically how that translates is we're on the cutting edge of consciousness, and we're here on the frontier where it looks like this stuff is not known, but it's inside of us. So if we come into this situation where it looks like, oh my gosh, this is chaos, this is horrible, and we look into the outer world for the answers, we never find them. But if we remember, oh, I'm the one that's bringing the answers. Oh, I forgot. I'm the one that's bringing the solution. So we look into this chaos and realize, oh, it's okay. I got this. I know what to do here. But we haven't been looking in here for the answers. We've been looking out there. So we didn't know we had them. So now the conversation is returning to this, oh, I get this. I get this. And so as we do that, we bring the solution. We get to then experience ourselves as the creators that we are. And we get to bring solution to this chaotic, unawakened dimension called the third dimension all at the same time. And it's also important to realize that all of creation is operating in cycles. It's this huge thing, 25,000 years, called a yuga. And on smaller and smaller scales, it comes down to little cycles in our life that create a bigger cycle that is our whole life span, and in a bigger cycle that is orbiting, and then a bigger cycle that's coming around, and all the way out to these, you know, thousands of years collectively in a cycle. And right now we're moving through a phase of reawakening. We're coming out of a phase of compression and contraction, and it's a deep anchoring that happens. It's not just a contraction. It's not bad. There's never anything bad that happens. We just don't understand what the nature of the goodness is, so we can't interpret it as good. But I'm so inspired to share with people about that there's only one thing happening here, and it is made of goodness, and we are that, and so is everything that we're experiencing. And so as we do this, what gets to be remembered is that we're just coming around in a cycle. And so that's why so many people are waking up right now. So many people are interested in this, and they're telling their friends, and they're gathering there. We come forward and watch things, and we're like, it bubbles up from inside of ourselves, because it's time for that expansive part of the cycle to have its day in the sun. And the important thing I feel is that we manage that with consciousness, so that we don't have to go completely back to sleep again, that we're cycling, we're coming around a cycle, but each cycle we're elevating, and that we're becoming more and more awake with each awakening, and more awake with each sleep phase, so that it really just becomes this giant deep samadhi, this deep meditative state that we're in, instead of ever really falling back to sleep again as a species. You know, we're definitely capable of it.
Oh, I love that answer. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. So at the end, it's actually about remembering and connecting to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It's about remembering who we are.
Yeah.
We are made of everything in the whole of creation. We are the unified field of energy, which means everything that exists. And, you know, all physical form is just compressed energy. You know, this water is compressed energy, and the glass that it's in is compressed energy. That's just compressed a little bit more than the water. So it creates this container that can hold the water. But it's all just energy. And so are we. We are energy. And so we're made of this unity, this unified energy field that is the most refined, subtle of all. And when you start compressing it, it becomes more physical. So when you compress it and compress it and compress it and compress it, we ultimately get physical form. And so what's on the inside is the wholeness. But we were never taught to look there. We just weren't taught that.
Yeah.
And so as we are remembering to do that, we then have access to remembering everything that's in there. The light of our own consciousness acts like a laser beam, and it magnifies as well. So when you put that laser-like ability to magnify, to enliven something together with the breath of our loving presence that we truly are, we start to animate these parts of us that have been sitting dormant for our entire lifetime, if not longer. And so as that dormancy starts to enliven into wakefulness, vibrations start to become active inside of us. And those vibrations start to merge with other vibrations. And the next thing you know, there's a vibratory presence within that we call inspiration, or that we call innovation or genius. And it's just, we're just waking up. And we're learning now how to utilize our faculties in such a way that we can do that consciously and intentionally without having to wait for something from the outside to activate us, to enliven us. We can do this, and it's obviously time. Yes. Because so many people yeah. feel it.
Yeah, so true. I'm wondering, is there still moments where you are afraid, or where you are doubting yourself, or where this protective self comes up? And what do you do in a moment like that?
You know, one of the favorite things that I've learned in all this is that there used to be a place in my solar plexus, just in the core of my body, that would shake. And I thought that that was anxiety. That's what I named it. It's what it was called. It's what I was taught. And what I came to realize through all of this was that when our energy centers and our consciousness are coming online, they start to vibrate. And that shaking was a vibration of my own personal power trying to wake up. And so when I start to feel that thing that I used to call fear, I realize, oh, no, that's not fear. That's activation of my own enthusiasm, my own assertion into the world. It's a growth. It's a hatching. It's like a little egg sitting with a baby chick inside, ready to hatch. The egg will be measured to vibrate, and then a little beak pecks out of it, because it's just like that, peck. And right there, that shaking that I used to think was terror is really just an attempt for awakening. And now that I know that, when I feel the shaking, I hug it back, not with my arms, but on the inside. I'm like, oh, onto you. Got it. Sweet. Thank you. And then I squeeze these anchor points and points that I shared today, and I start breathing life into it. And the next thing I know, I feel so ready for whatever it is. Even though my mind doesn't know what to do, I have a felt sense that when the moment comes, I'm going to know what to do. And it just keeps happening that way. It keeps turning out to be true. Like, I'll be invited to go give some big talk at some huge thing with tens of thousands of people, 90,000 people watching live, or 100,000 people tuning in, or what have you. And instead of predetermining what I'm going to do, I just spend my time, instead of writing my talk, I spend my time dropping in with more and more and more of my awareness to this core central channel of my being. Because I know that everything's in there, and that if I have my mind, my consciousness seated on it, it's going to know exactly what is needed in any given moment, whether it's handling an emergency, whether it's, in fact, I don't even see them as emergencies anymore. They're just, you know, focal points, points that require a laser-like focus on something. Or if it's handling a delightful, you know, engagement, a surprise, or moving into a new version of life, a new project, what I'm finding is that what I used to think was fear, if I don't name it, if I just feel it and honor it as something that's contributing to the evolution of my own consciousness, then it gets to be that. We talk about our beliefs control our reality. Believing in fear is what creates a reality in which we have to survive the fear. So I just don't name the stuff. I just feel it and use the felt tone as a sign to show me how to develop my own consciousness more in this moment than I would have been able to had that emphasis not been there, trusting that every single thing that's happening is in my favor. And the more I trust it, the more it keeps proving to be true, and the more life just gets sweet, and I get younger, have a better time. It's just working.
It's beautiful. So. It's so nice. Thank you so much for sharing. I love your answers.
I love your questions.
There's one last question I ask everyone of my interview guests. So imagine it's the last day of your life in this life. Mm. And there has been, you had a beautiful life, like everything worked out, as you just said, absolutely in your favor. And you had so many beautiful experiences. But on that last day, there has been like a technical problem and everything from your work has been deleted. Like there is nothing left. And I would come to you and I would say, Dr. Sue, I'm so sorry, but there has been a little bit of a technical problem. Nothing is left. But I have a white piece of paper and a pen. And what would you write on this paper, your three wisdoms, if nothing else from you would stay, just these three wisdoms, what would you write on that paper?
Yes. Well, I would say, number one, love sooner. Mm. And number two, breathe more deeply into your wisdom, into your core. And I would say that know that everything that happens in your life is in your favor, is encouraging you to awaken to your magnificence. And there are no exceptions to that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And just for the end, I just want to talk about your book really quickly, because this is how I actually found you, and you just released your book, so congratulations to that.
Thank you.
The Energy Codes, and it's actually what we talked about, right? The seven steps, how you can get into this magnificent.
It's all about how to drop into your body, how to make it happen. It's a how-to book.
It's a how-to book. Yeah.
The beginning of the book talks about the big cosmic, you know, the quantum science and the bioenergetics, but I make it super user friendly because it needs to be accessible to people. And then the whole middle section of the book, seven full chapters, are detailed experiences and practices for people to do to enliven and activate the levels of our wholeness, the levels of our consciousness, and integrate them. It's not just enough to activate, but to integrate them so that we're operating as a whole, unified, integrated system. And then the last part of the book is I talk about what the world would look like if we all did that.
Awesome. Yeah. I think this, everyone should read it. I mean, this is actually what we just talked about, right?
Thank you.
How the world would change. Yeah. So thank you so much. That was so beautiful. I feel so inspired. And I know everyone listening right now is sure inspired as well, and it's just I'm so grateful that you had that experience 18 years ago.
Yes, no kidding. Me too.
That therefore you do know this incredible work, and I just thank you so much for being you, for being this light, and it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
It's my honor, my great joy. Thank you.
Ich hoffe sehr, dass dir dieses Interview gefallen hat, dass du ganz viel Inspiration für dich mitnehmen konntest. Und ich freue mich wie immer, wenn du jetzt bei mir bei Instagram vorbeischaust, @LauraMarlinaSeiler, mir deine Gedanken dalässt zu dieser Folge, was du für dich mitgenommen hast. Vielleicht hast du auch noch eine Frage, schreib sie gerne da in die Kommentare. Ich freue mich riesig, von dir zu hören und auf den Austausch dort. Und in diesem Monat ist der Fokus des Monats im Higher Self Home Business und Spiritualität. Wenn du da gerne tiefer eintauchen möchtest, dann schau vorbei. Das Higher Self Home ist unser monatlicher spiritueller Mitgliederbereich für deine persönliche Weiterentwicklung. Und den Link findest du in den Shownotes. Ich freue mich riesig, wenn du da dabei bist. Und falls du wirklich das Komplettprogramm haben möchtest und gerade sagst, du bist jetzt an einem Leben, wo du an einem Punkt in deinem Leben, wo du wirklich die Kompletttransformation haben möchtest, dann mach die Rise Up in Shine Uni. Das ist das 4-Wochen-Programm von mir, wo du wirklich komplett in deine Kraft kommen kannst, wo es darum geht, die Vergangenheit loszulassen, das anzunehmen, was jetzt gerade da ist, und voller Kraft, voller Power in deiner Schöpferkraft deine Zukunft zu gestalten und zu entwickeln. Und auch dazu findest du den Link natürlich in den Shownotes. Und ansonsten, wie immer, es ist einfach so schön, dass es dich gibt. Danke, 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 dass du hier bist, dass du diesen Podcast anhörst. Ich freue mich über deine 5-Sterne-Rezension hier bei iTunes und fühle dich von Herzen umarmt. Du bist ein Geschenk für diese Welt. Danke, dass es dich gibt. Glaube an dich, glaube an deine Einzigartigkeit, glaube daran, dass du hier auf dieser Welt einen Unterschied machen kannst, denn das kannst du. Und es ist elementar wichtig, dass du dein Licht in diese Welt bringst. Fühle dich von Herzen umarmt. Rock on und Namaste, deine Laura.